kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, etc. that play sports. Well, if early on a Saturday morning you ever found yourself on a sideline or in a bleachers, I just want you to know I feel your pain. I was there many times with my girls. My youngest daughter, her very first sport was girls' soccer. And if you've never been around girls' soccer, typically when a girl scores a goal, the whole team runs around them and hugs them and jumps up and down. It's a really super fun moment. And God wired my girl that she was the main girl running down the field, scoring those goals, etc. Well, as she got older, eventually the club coaches came calling, and they were interested in Miss Kendall. And so she was very lucky to receive an offer from a good coach to play on a good team, but there was a catch. This coach said, "Kendall, I want you to come play for me, but I want you to be a defender." So she had a choice to make. Would she give up some of that personal spotlight in order to play on that team? Today, we're going to talk about those personal spotlights because, you see, when Paul wrote the book of Corinthians, specifically chapter 12, the church of Corinth was worried about that personal spotlight shining on them. See, they wanted to be special and to come across as more spiritual than the peers around them. And here's the sad part. They were using their spiritual gifts in order to seek that self-glorification. And ladies, it was dividing the church. So my question is, what about you? Have you ever been tempted to use your spiritual gifts to gain that personal spotlight? Or maybe you're on the other end of the spectrum that you're thinking, I'm not even sure there's any giftedness in the tank here. And I want you to know that today I'm here to assure you that if you have trusted Christ as your Savior, God has given you one or several or multiple spiritual gifts. And today is the day that we unpack what all of that means. So why don't you go on and open your Bibles to chapter 12, and I'll give you a little idea of where we're going to head today. So today we are going to hit two main aspects in our teaching. First, we are going to discover that we are all in this together. And second, that you got to get your head in the game. For those of you who never saw High School Musical, there you go. It is a little flashback to Disney's High School Musical. If you've never saw it, thank me later. You get to see Zac Efron as his little baby self back in the day. But let's start talking about the spiritual gifts at the very beginning. Hey, okay, what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are any ability, that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and used in the ministry of the church to unite and build up the body of Christ. That's the key here, is to build up the body of Christ. At the end of Ephesians 4:16, when he's talking about parts of the body, he says this: the parts cause the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So we get an idea of who they are and what they're for. But really, before we can progress any further, there are three basic questions that we've got to just own before we can move forward. Those three questions are: who are the gifts given by? Who are the spiritual gifts given to? And what is their purpose? Those are the three main things that if we don't understand, we're going to get off track. So the answer to these three questions is a gift. You're going to see that the first question, who are they given by? They're given by God, specifically by the Holy Spirit. And if you're in your Bibles, you're going to want to read verse 11 with me. For it is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. They're given by the Holy Spirit. Second, who are they given to brings us to I. They are imparted to the individual believers. And the key word there, ladies, is believers. Non-Christians do not have these spiritual gifts. They're for the church. What is their purpose? And this is the one I hope you digest, and I hope you write down every reference that I put up here for the F. They are for the building up of the body. You're going to hear me say that so many times tonight, you're going to be a little sick of it, for the building up of the body. But let's just take a quick look at chapter 14, verse 12. It says, since you are so eager to have the special gifts that the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. They're for that purpose. And T is, as a bonus here, the spiritual gifts and their usage can be misconstrued and misunderstood. And so you need to test that against the scriptures. G-I-F-T. Make sure you test it against the scriptures. And I'm going to have a little fun with you today. What if standing right here in this spot is Jesus Christ? And he says, hey, Tiffany and Cora and Sherry, I need you three to come with me. I've got a job for you to do. We'll time out here, right here for a second. When we get over the fact that, okay, Jesus himself was here. Okay, that's the biggest. But what is everyone else in this room thinking and feeling? We're naturally thinking, why them? What was special about them? Why didn't he choose me? That comparison sneaks in. But yet, if you happen to be one of the three that were chosen, your mind's going the opposite direction. You're going, are you sure? Did you just make a mistake? Because do you know who I am? I'm really just a girl. The insecurity bubbles up as well. And I will tell you, ladies, that's our natural bent when it comes to the spiritual gifts. We either bend toward comparison or insecurity. And I want you to know that is not God's intent with the spiritual gifts. And we're going to talk a lot more about that as we keep on today. So are any of you guys into the Enneagram thing? I figured there'd be a few of you. I don't know if you're a three with a four wing or I know just enough to be dangerous. I don't know a whole lot about it. But I will tell you, whether it's the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs or the Taylor-Johnson or that lion-beaver-otter thing, we like the labels, right? We like the labels and we like to put people in the little boxes and it helps us understand ourselves. It helps us understand others. Tonight, I'm going to encourage you to avoid the labels and don't get so hung up on the boxes. Because you see, while collectively in all of Scripture, there are 19 spiritual gifts listed out, I want you to know God is not confined or limited to any list. He can give whatever gift to whomever he wants, whenever he wants. Focus more on the purpose. Hey, how can we use whatever we're good at to build up the body of Christ? So I do want you to know, hey, talents and skills are different than the spiritual gifts, but you can use those to build up the body of Christ, right? Do you bake? Do you do photography? Do you decorate? Do you organize? How can you use that to build up the body of Christ? Were any of y'all at our recharge event a couple weeks ago? Best night. So excited about that night. There were so many women using the variety of gifts to make that night happen. There were people being silly on stage. There were people dancing. There were people decorating. And I mean, there was just everything. And that mix of gifts out there on display, it just gave me joy. It made me so glad to see. And that's the purpose. We're supposed to see that. Now, I will tell you there's a set of gifts that always prompt questions and a little bit of insecurity and people just want to know more about them. And those gifts are often known as the sign gifts or the authenticating gifts. And so let's make sure we know the basics about that set of gifts. First of all, those gifts were given usually for a specific season or on a specific occasion in order to validate the message of God. And sometimes they're validating the messenger of God. But they often showed up when the word of God, that good news, was just beginning to take ground. Something was starting there and it needed validating. Examples of these gifts include the gifts of healing, miracles, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, and certain forms of prophecy. Those are considered the sign gifts. And as we talk about this, I want you to remember Meg's teaching from last week when she said, hey, you got to read in context when you're looking at scripture here. Remember, Paul's talking to the early church in Corinth that was just starting out. So that being said, the question everyone wants to know, can he use those gifts today? Well, I will tell you that there are some on this camp that say no and never, done. And there's some on the camp over here that are like, yes, and always and every day. I want you to know here at Watermark, we're somewhere closer to the middle in that we call ourselves open but cautious. And what I mean by that is there's no scripture saying they're gone. So we realize, hey, there could very well be pockets where the revelation of the message is just beginning to bud, that God could have these gifts show up and validate his message or messenger. But here's the bottom line. You can't say never when God's doing his thing, because he is God and we are not, right? So that being said, these gifts often do not appear on most modern day versions of the gift list. And so that's why you typically don't see them. I will tell you this, as I'm about to discuss the gifts here, I want you to think about, hey, which of these maybe do I have? Which come naturally to me? Here we go. Is there a chance you have administration, apostleship, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith? I know some of y'all well enough that I could actually say names on these, but I'm not. Giving, hospitality, knowledge, leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, shepherding, teaching, and wisdom. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time about here's what each gift means, because we'd be here a long time and you'd be pretty tired by then. Instead, here's what I want you to do. In your small groups tonight, I want you to discuss, hey, how can you use these gifts? Give creative ideas with, maybe you have this gift, then maybe you could use it this way. So that's where the real sweet spot is, and that's where I hope y'all get to. But on all of these gifts, ladies, no matter what they are, they don't work without their secret sauce. And the secret sauce is love. You see, right now in this section of scripture, we are in the middle of what I call a love sandwich. Chapter 12, they're talking about the spiritual gifts. We're going to hit chapter 13 where we talk about love, hence the frosting, my favorite in the world. And then chapter 14, we're going to talk about the gifts again some more. So that was by design. It is no accident that love is sandwiched right in the middle of all those chapters. So while we need to use our gifts in love, we also need to appreciate the diversity of the gifts. See, they're not all the same. We're not all identical. And that being said, Paul uses the analogy of the body to talk about why all the parts are so important. So let's read verses 15 to 18 together. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the whole of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Here's the best part. But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. I love this visual because I think of how much I would miss. Oh gosh, what if I didn't have my eyesight, or what if I didn't have a hand, or you know, just how much I value having all my parts. But one image always comes to my mind every single time I read this scripture. And that image is Mrs. Potato Head. Work. Now, my girl here is a great representation of the church. Look at all these dandy little parts that she has, right? And here's what I love so much about this gal. She's such a perfect illustration here because let's just say, for example, she's missing a few parts. All right, how well is she going to function? Not so great, right? But let's think about the church here, okay? What if we have too many? How'd we do? Too many of the same parts. Can you imagine church where people had that many mouths and, oh my gosh. No, this would not work either. It would definitely not work. Because I had a little bit too much fun with her. Imagine just for grins that she gets these parts back, but she loses the feet, the go and do's. This is now what I call a dud spud because she can't move. I had way too much fun with this, Mrs. Potato Head. But, I mean, she does need all of her parts to truly function well. But there's one more analogy that I want to make sure you get. Let's say, for example, this part is missing. She does have these dandy little feet. They do work perfect. They can go and do, and they do everything feet are supposed to do. They're fully functioning feet. are they going to function to their maximum capacity if there's no eyes? Are they going to leap and jump and bound to the same extent they would if she had the eyes also? Guys, the parts are interdependent on each other. They function better when they function together. This beautiful expression of diversity is part of God's design. He created her to have all the parts, and the parts need each other. So that being said, we've got to remember it was his plan for diversity that would create unity within the body of Christ. Sorry. And in Corinth, they were using it to cause division. These gifts are his diversity. Appreciate how different we all are and how much we need each other. It should create a sense of unity. So just when we really start to digest that, okay, we need all the parts and all the gifts in order for this thing to work, we hit verses 27 to 31. And here in these particular verses, Paul seems to be telling us to seek particular gifts. And I don't know if that caused you any confusion, but let's read verse 31 together. You should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. And he just got through giving us a list of them. Well, that confused me at first. The you here is not addressed in a singular form to you, the individual. The you here is plural, and he's addressing the body of the whole church here. In other words, in order to do church in AD 55, these are the gifts he was telling them to seek as a body. Like, you can't do church without the apostles and the prophets and the teachers. So that's what he was trying to say, is a collective body, we need these. We are to celebrate the gifts he gives us as individuals, regardless of what they are. But I do want to throw in one quick caveat. Please keep in mind, with some of the gifts, they need maturing before they can be deployed. A classic example of this would be if a new believer had the gift of teaching. They might be able to communicate very clearly, but yet they might not know God's word well enough and not be able to handle it accurately until they mature in the Lord a little bit more. So don't be discouraged if your gifts may need a little maturing before they're deployed. So now that we've realized that we need each other and we're all in this together, it's now time for me to talk to you personally about how to get your head in the game. For you as an individual, do you know what your spiritual gifts are? Well, I will tell you this. If you have ever operated outside of your spiritual giftedness, you felt it. It's kind of like swimming upstream, and it's usually not very pretty. It's kind of a drag sometimes. But on the same note, you know you're within your giftedness as well. Because you know what? Those tasks just come more naturally to you. It's a little bit easier. And typically, it energizes you when you're working within your giftedness, as opposed to the total drain it can be sometimes when you're not operating within your giftedness. I also think you need to consider the feedback you get from individuals, because if you're getting positive feedback and they're saying, hey, please come do that again, you're probably operating within your giftedness. And in the same vein, sometimes crickets can be feedback too. Just saying. But guys, you light up when you use your gifts. There is a joy when you use your gifts. Don't miss that. And if you're still sitting there thinking, okay, I'm really not sure how to figure out this whole gift thing, I'm going to give you three very practical, effective ways to know what's going on here. Here's number one. I want you to ask the people who know you well, what am I good at? I want you to do the 5 for 5. And what I mean by that is ask 5 people who know you well to each give you a list of 5 things you're good at. And you should start, as you accumulate that list, you should see some repetition. You should see some patterns beginning to emerge. Sometimes we're blind to ourselves, right? And we need someone else to speak in and say, hey, did you know you're really good at? It's very encouraging and it's helpful. Second, I encourage you to just try something. Now, I'm not saying go jump off the Brooklyn Bridge or whatever, but just try something, even if it's little. Stick that toe in the water and give something a whirl here. Because, see, when you're stationary, it's hard to figure out what you're good at. But when you're in motion, it doesn't take long before you can figure out if you're on the right path or maybe you need to adjust and go serve over here instead. But just do something. That helps. That really helps. And thirdly, I would encourage you, hey, if you didn't get to, take the spiritual gifts inventory that we sent you in last Friday's email. Little caveat, hit the results button. A lot of people didn't know to look for that. Hit the results button. It'll tally everything and give you this dandy little list with descriptions. It's wonderful. But anyway, that's just a quick little note there. But I will also tell you this. When you think about serving, I always try to serve in two capacities. And I'll explain what I mean by that. See, every business and every household, they have chores and they have other jobs that are funner. Some are energizing, some are a drain. I've kind of mentioned that. You see, early in marriage, I kind of tried to tell Kyle, you know, dusting is really just not within my giftedness, and I think it'd be better if you did it. And he didn't think it was funny either. He didn't, it didn't fly. But at the same way, when I think of serving, I try not to just do chores, and I try not to just do things that energize me. Chores have got to be done. Things don't function without the trash being taken out, right? So I try to serve in each bucket if I can, so that I'm helping with the things that need to happen, but I also am not going to get totally drained because I'm also trying to serve within my giftedness. So just a little hesitation there. In my daughter's soccer games, the one place they never wanted to be was sitting on the bench. Sitting on the sidelines was no fun. They wanted to be out there on that field doing what they were good at and what they'd worked hard at, et cetera. Yet, ladies, I feel like some of us in here are sitting on the sidelines with our spiritual gifts. And I want us to dig a little bit into why? Because we're missing out if you're not in the game. So let's start. Could it possibly be you're on the sidelines because, number one, you feel like you're not worthy or qualified? I'm going to tell you that, let me back up. Let's take a moment and let's look at verse 7 together because this verse has helped me and I hope it will help you. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Okay, think about what is the source, manifestation of the Spirit? Ladies, that's supernaturalness just flowing through you, ready to come out. God himself is the author and the creator of this quality that's in you. And that's what's trying to come out. And I will tell you, that's what gives me the courage to stick my toe in the water. It's not Trisha trying to come out. It's the Holy Spirit's that supernaturalness that he's got a plan for. And he wouldn't want it to be coming out for no reason, if that makes sense. That's what gives me the courage to get over the fear and just give it a whirl. So the next time someone asks you, what are you good at? I don't want you to hem and haw and be slow to answer. I want you to say, you know what? God has given me the ability to, and then fill in your blank there. Because see, ladies, while you don't want to take credit for the gifts, at the same time, you don't want to deny their value. God has given me the ability to. Number two, maybe you're on the sidelines because you're not sure what your gifts are. Well, I've already given you three ways to get past that one, so we're going to move right on. Maybe you're on the sidelines because you're dissatisfied with your gifts. I can't tell you how many times I've said, Lord, would you please give me the gift of hospitality? I mean, I am the definition of swimming upstream when it comes to hospitality. And yet, I have got to remember that he handpicked the gifts that he gave to me. Let's check verse 18 together here. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Ladies, you are not the coach. This is not your game plan. Trisha, you are not the coach. Trisha, this is not your game plan. You've got to trust his. He's given me the gifts I need. Maybe you're sitting on the sidelines because of time. You know, it's just not really a convenient time for me. You may have delegated all your time to other places and other priorities. And hey, some of them may be great priorities. I'm not saying they aren't. But I'm going to tell you, we think it is a tactical error for you to not leave any time to serve the body of Christ with the gifts that were given to you by God for that very reason, to serve and strengthen the body of Christ. Are you using your gifts to serve the body of Christ? See, there's a nice little caveat, and it's stuck with me, and this has helped me motivate and stay on course, and it's that I have to remember my gifts do not belong to me. I'm just a steward of them. My gifts belong to the body of Christ. Ladies, your spiritual gifts aren't yours. They belong to the body of Christ. Now, I don't tell you this in order to guilt you or anything along those lines, but I don't want you to miss out. There is joy and there is satisfaction in being faithful with those gifts. Fifthly, maybe you are sitting on the sidelines because you just don't realize how absolutely critically important you are to the process. Now, I'm going to address this one with a visual here. Obviously, we're going to, that's the best way to say this. I know how I'm going to say this, sorry. If you have any of you ever done a major renovation or done a new home construction, you learn a ton about what goes into the building of a house or a structure, right? There's plumbing, roofing, flooring. I mean, there's just tons of things. So that being said, today we're going to think about this building and we're going to think about this room that we are in. Behind these walls, there are studs that are holding up the walls. We don't see them, we don't celebrate them, but they're there. What would happen to us tonight if the studs said, you know, I just don't think I'm that important to the process. Surely y'all can get by without me. What would happen? The roof is gonna fall down on our heads. The structural integrity, the whole building would be compromised. It would be a big hairy deal, right? Well, let's look at this from a different angle. Let's say, just for grins, that something a little less noticeable comes into play. And as we look at this from a different angle, we are going to be looking at our building from the top down. This is actually a schematic of Watermark behind me. And all the exits, I put red circles around. Those are the doors that you go in and out of, right? And y'all know that every exit, multiple doors, etc. Well, imagine if you would, that all of the door handles were tied up elsewhere, except for two. So the only two doors that would work in the whole stinking building are over here where you see the green arrow, and all of the others have just been rendered completely ineffective because the door handles, see, they had commitments other places. They were too busy. Ladies, whether you are a critical door handle or a strong stud, whatever piece of the building you are, it doesn't matter if you're a beautiful stained glass window, whatever piece of the building you are critical, and the rest of us rely and depend upon you. And boy, we know it like crazy when you don't show up. He wants to use you, not just your neighbor, you. And he didn't intend to just use you on one special occasion or what he was doing with you 10 years ago. He wants to use you regularly. He wants to use you for the moments that we have right now. Don't sit on the sidelines. Now, you see, my daughter Kendall, she made her soccer decision. She decided to go with a new team and become a defender. And I can tell you, she's actually really good at it, which was fun, but she only ever scored one other goal in the entire rest of her soccer career. And her team, collectively, they had enormous success. It was a great little team there. But here's what I liked. She trusted her coach's plan for the team. She gave up some of her own personal glory for the benefit of the team. And I got to tell you, as her parents, we were extremely proud of her. It's our hope and it is our prayer for you that today you will trust the coach's plan. You will get off of the sidelines, and that you will get in the game.